Drop the Subject.
Okay, Drop the Subject on the new Channel Q with Allie Johnson, Jared Hill, and we are joined in studio by a real expert, Hank Plant.
I'm a little bit starstruck because I grew up in the Bay Area watching you on KPIX Channel 5, which is now CBS 5 for all of our folks listening in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool to have you sitting next to me.
It's a pleasure to be here. I really appreciate it. And what a wonderful operation you've got going here.
That's a big deal.
I mean, you're in all these stations and all these cities.
Well, right out the gate, I mean, you were covering, I mean, we'll get into the documentary 5B, which is why we're here. And there's a screening tonight in Los Angeles at 8 p.m. of this incredible documentary about the first eight. Yeah, free screening of 5B, a documentary about the first AIDS ward that existed in 1983 during the AIDS epidemic. And it's a story that you covered all those years ago. Yeah. But did you ever think back then, if someone had told you that there would be a gay radio station and you'd be talking on it, talking about this documentary, would you have believed it?
No, I didn't. I didn't think we'd have gay marriage. I didn't think we'd have a gay front runner for president. Mm. I didn't think we'd have lesbian and gay CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. It's fantastic. I'm so glad that I've lived this long. I really mean it. I mean it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So I mean, when the AIDS epidemic hit, nobody knew really what it was.
Yeah.
It was this mystery illness that was killing gay men in the 80s. And nobody wanted to talk about it. And you were a reporter who decided to cover something like this when no one else wanted to. What was that like to talk to your employer and say, I need to cover this?
I was lucky because my bosses were good. And they were good. They saw this as a compelling story. We were in San Francisco, which was ground zero for the epidemic in the Western world, more cases per capita than any spot in the Western world. And they said, go for it. And other people at the station were there even before me covering it. So the groundwork had been laid. There was a reporter named Jim Bunn who was there, who was doing a wonderful job. Producer named Molly McCrae, who was still there. So the groundwork was there. Now, having said that, I will tell you, there were people inside the station who didn't like us covering it that much because they thought it would hurt the ratings. And they thought that if you put people with AIDS on too much, the viewers would turn away. Or if you put gays on too much, the viewers would turn away. But it didn't stop me. It didn't stop us from doing the coverage.
So that's actually something I'm curious about, because I said I grew up seeing you on television, and I had no idea that you were gay. I'm curious, like, what were you able to be out then? Were you able to, like, what was it like for you back then?
I was one of the first openly gay TV reporters in the country, maybe the first.
Okay.
But certainly one of the first. And so, I was definitely out in the 80s when AIDS came along and when I was working as a TV reporter. And, it really informed my work. I mean, first of all, covering AIDS at the beginning, it was more than a story to me.
Yeah.
These were my friends who were dying. Covering it was a chance for me to channel my grief and my anger about the disease. And I felt like I could do something about it, and I didn't feel quite so powerless. And as you said, the government was doing nothing.
Right.
Reagan wasn't talking about it. I mean, I stood in front of Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, in 1987 when he said the word AIDS for the first time, 6 years into the epidemic. This was in D.C. He was giving a speech outdoors. I stood in front of him, and when he said that word for the first time, I made a note in my reporter's notebook that 21,000 Americans had already died.
Mm.
So here you have this silence on the part of the government, and then we have this lonely TV station in San Francisco going on the air every night telling people, how do you not get this disease? How do you protect yourself? You can't get it from mosquitoes. It's not airborne. You were trying to assuage people's fears.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really proud of the work that we all did at the station.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's so important because as a reporter and as a journalist, it's your job to inform people about these things, and the fact that no one wanted to talk about it people needed this information because there wasn't a lot of it.
Right, but there was some resistance, I have to tell you. I mean, come on, we were going on TV with a banana and a condom showing you people the proper way to put on a condom and telling people, all right, don't use the lambskin, sheepskin condom because they leak. And they'll leak the virus. Use the latex condom, stuff like that. So you can imagine there was
some backlash.
some reaction against it. Yeah. But, you know, we were in the... I honestly think that we, and I'm not saying this about myself, I'm saying the whole station, I think we save people's lives.
Absolutely.
Oh, I really do. I mean, how often can you say that about a news story that you've done?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, even today, there are still students in schools that learn about sex education that way, right?
Yes.
Because there's abstinence-only training or there's very little education in school. So it's kind of nice to hear that even back then you guys were able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and hats off to my employers because they said, let's do this. We've got to do this. But, you know, those were also the days when the FCC was keeping an eye on television and radio stations. And so we kind of had a legal obligation to look out for the public's interest. That's what it said on the license. You know, we're licensed by the feds.
Yeah.
We're speaking to Hank Plann, an award-winning journalist. You are a member of the LGBT Journalist Hall of Fame.
I didn't realize
that was a thing, but that's really exciting that you got that. And let's talk a little bit about the 5B documentary about this nurse's ward. How did this group of nurses come together, and when did they decide, you know, we have to start doing something?
So, just a tiny bit of background. So this week is the anniversary, June 5th, 1981. A doctor in L.A. Named Michael Gottlieb discovered five cases of gay men who had these strange symptoms that they should not be having. Dr. Gottlieb is still practicing in L.A. Straight guy, straight doctor. And so he wrote a report for the CDC Journal, and that was published on June 5th of 1981. That is the beginning of what we now know is AIDS. At San Francisco General and also in Los Angeles and other big city hospitals, they were noticing these cases of these guys who were coming, mostly men, but also women, coming in, and they had Kaposi sarcoma lesions. They had pneumocystis pneumonia, diseases like that, opportunistic diseases that men that age didn't get. And so the nurses at San Francisco General took it upon themselves to take this ward that was not being used, 5B, and turn it into the first AIDS ward in the country. Mm. And I mean, they painted the walls.
Yeah.
They built this thing. Yeah, you had doctors, one of the leading AIDS doctors in the world, a guy named Paul Volberding, he's in the movie, using a spray paint can, he spray painted the elevator, and I always kid him about it because the one thing you should never do, here's one of the smartest doctors in the world, one thing you should never do is use a spray paint can in an enclosed space.
I have an interior design business, I'm like, spray paint in an elevator sounds like a really bad idea.
I know.
You go from the bottom floor to the top floor. Yeah, exactly. That's quite a ride.
Doctor, you know, come on. You should know better. Anyway, they built this ward. It's Ward 5B, and that's what this film is about. This film is about these heroic nurses who rose to the occasion.
So we're going to take a quick break. I hate to do this to people on the air, but can you stick with us for just another segment?
I would love to.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Hank Plant telling us more about 5B, which is going to be screened here in Los Angeles for the first time. You can see it at the Pride events that are going on. We'll have more information on that and about this documentary coming up. You're listening to Drop the Subject with Jared and Ali on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Drop the Subject. We'll be right back. Drop the Subject.
Okay, Drop the Subject on the new Channel Q with Jared, Ali, and we are joined by journalist Hank Plant, who was on KPIX in the Bay Area for a number of years.
25.
How many? 25 years. Mm-hmm. That is nothing to scoff at. And now you're in Palm Springs?
Yeah, my husband and I live in Palm Springs. I do a little bit of journalism, and now I'm involved in this movie we've been talking about, 5B, which is so much fun. It's very gratifying for me.
Yeah, well, so, we love our people in Palm Springs. We're on 103.1 there, so happy to be there.
And in the Bay Area on AM 1550 AM and 97.3 HD2. So, okay, so Hank, tell me, how did you get involved with the telling of this story for this documentary?
Well, I got a call from the researchers about a year and a half ago and said there's this group, this director, Dan Krause, he's already been nominated for two Oscars. Mm-hmm. Previously, he wants to do a documentary about 5B. They'd like to interview you because, you know, they knew that my history. And I said, yeah, I'm in. And you know, they did the interview, it kind of went away. I never heard anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that Johnson & Johnson had paid for the film because they wanted to do something nice for nurses. And then just very recently, a few months ago, I learned that Verizon big media company, Verizon Media, had basically bought the film, and they're going to promote the heck out of it. And so I thought it had died, and now here it is, come to life. It's going to open nationwide June 14th, a week from today.
And it was at Cannes Film Festival.
It was at Cannes. It was selected for the Cannes Film Festival.
Which is kind of
We got
awesome.
A standing ovation.
That's awesome.
And that's a tough audience. They boo.
Absolutely.
They
yeah.
boo films.
Cannes does
do?
Not play. Yeah.
Yes, they will. And they, we got
that's
a standing
probably the stuffiest of the film festivals.
Yeah.
I think that and Sundance are probably the stuffiest.
Yeah.
Well, now people so are standing really, up for it. That's amazing. And now everyone's going to be able to see it. I mean, tonight it's going to be a free screening at LA Pride
free
as we
screening,
kick off.
Yeah, the movie starts at 8 p.m. It's followed by a concert with Paula Abdul. It's at West Hollywood Park, which is right next to the Pacific Design Center. It's going to be great. A lot of celebs will be there. It's going to be great.
I'm going to be out there.
It's free.
With my best friend, and we've got some seats for Paula Abdul. We're excited about the screening. It's going to be a really good night.
Fantastic.
So tell me what surprised you about the story as the documentary kind of came along and the story's getting told? What about this was new for you?
Well, I'll tell you, there's kind of two audiences for this film. There's, in my head, there's younger people who did not live through the beginning of the AIDS crisis, mm-hmm. and kind of grew up with HIV around them, and especially gays and lesbians. And then there's older people like me who have compartmentalized it and put it out of our heads. Mm. Otherwise, we'd be walking around with PTSD all day
right.
long. I mean, you know, somebody like my age, I've lost most of my friends my age, gay friends. Mm-hmm. And so this unlocked that and brought it all back. I cried my eyes out in Cannes.
Really?
I saw it. I've seen the film twice now so far. I saw it when it was first finished, and I thought, yeah, it's fine. But I was kind of studying it because I wanted to see what did they screw up.
Of course, yes.
Well, then they didn't. They didn't screw it. And so by the time I saw it in Cannes, it was the second time, I could not study it but relax into it. It and just see it as a regular person, and it just really hit me. Mm. It really got to me.
Well, I cannot wait to see it. 5B, the documentary about the first AIDS ward in 1983. When you were covering this story back then, did you have a chance to interview some of these nurses and talk to them about what made them decide to get together and do this?
Invariably, what would happen is, you know what it's like being a reporter. I mean, I would have an assignment or a story idea at 8 in the morning, and I'd have to scramble and find people to interview because you're on the air at 5 o'clock.
Right.
I always tell people that half of the work of a journalist is like finding the right person to talk to and figuring out how to contact them.
Total.
Yeah, yeah.
The hardest part of the day is the first hour.
Exactly.
Not the part when you're on TV.
Right. Interviewing. That's the easy part, yeah.
It's the first hour. So I would call up. There was a woman who handled the press for San Francisco General, and I'd say, can you find me somebody with AIDS to talk about? Here's the angle of the story. There's this new drug. Want to see if it's... And she would go around. She'd ask patients, will you talk to Hank? And they would let me come over.
So was it tough finding people, though? I mean, sometimes I think people didn't want to be admitting that.
You know, here's the thing, and this always, I choked up in the movie when I was talking about this, because it was not as tough as you think. There were so many of these men and women who were willing to go on TV and just talk about what it was like, and they knew they didn't look good. They knew that they had lesions on their faces. They knew that their employers would see it, their friends, their families would see it, and they did it anyway. They said yes anyway, and I am forever in love with these people for having the courage to do that because they thought it would help somebody else. Here's what I've been through. Maybe this will help you. Here's the drug I've tried. Maybe you can try it. I love these people for it, and they're all gone.
Well, I think what's also really great right now is, I don't know if you've seen the show Pose on FX, but there's some really great storytelling about HIV and like what it's like to be diagnosed positive and to figure out what you're going to do with your life. So I think it's a lot of the work that people like you did way back then that, you know, kind of introduced this into the culture, if you will, and now it's kind of becoming like a mainstream conversation.
It totally is. I mean, here you have the city council president in New York, Corey Johnson, openly gay, HIV positive, probably going to run for mayor, might be elected mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Paul Volberding, that doctor, very famous doctor, he's in the movie, AIDS doctor. I interviewed him fairly recently for a story that I did, and he said, you know, someone who becomes HIV positive today, they're not going to die from that disease.
Right.
They will die from something else if they take the medications that we prescribe. So it really has changed dramatically for the better.
It was so important for you to stand up for the community back then and for everybody to stand up back then, and especially now that it's the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, yeah. We're talking a lot about activism. Why is it important for people to stay activated now?
Oh, you got to do it. I mean, come on. We got to help each other, especially in our community. We're still under assault. I mean, 72 countries, you know, we can be persecuted terribly. Mm-hmm. 8 countries, it's a death sentence. How many states, at least 30 states, where you can be kicked out of your apartment still or denied a job? And they can say, you're gay, you're lesbian, I'm not hiring you. So, yeah, we got to help each other.
I think that's a really important point because I think so often people think of gay issues as being marriage, right? And
yeah.
Like, it's like there's so many more issues to think about
right.
being LGBTQ, wherever you fall underneath that umbrella.
And the next frontier, yeah. I think, is the rest of the world, because we've secured a lot of our rights in this country, but our brothers and sisters overseas, some of these countries, they're just being treated terribly.
So before we let you go, because we got to wrap up, tell people where they can find out more information about this if they're not in LA, where they can see it.
Oh, you just go to Google 5B Film.
Okay.
And everything's on there. They're going to release a list on Monday on that website, 5B, for theaters.
Okay.
So if you live in Houston, if you live in San Francisco, you can see where it's going to be playing. It opens June 14th in hundreds of theaters.
That's
awesome.
And
where can people find you, Hank?
Oh, you can...
Besides in Palm Springs.
Yeah, you can just Google me, and I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter.
Great.
Yeah,
my dad is going to be thrilled when I send him a photo of us together, because, like I said, he's been a big fan of CBS 5 and KPIX, well, formerly KPIX, but now CBS 5, when you were there for all those years. And so it's such an honor to see and talk with you. So
the
thank you
honor
so
is mine. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Make sure to look out for 5B Film. The documentary is going to be premiering tonight at LA Pride. We'll be right back. You're listening to Drop the Subject with Jared and Hallie.
Drop the Subject. We'll be right back.